Oh my god, guys, guess what?
What?
I have strep!
Oh, right. I thought there was news that you didn't tell me.
Yeah,
I forgot
no.
About that.
No. Well, I mean, I do have other life news, but I thought
Wait,
I'd get
you?
That out of the way. Yeah, with my, oh yeah, my housing. So
oh, yeah.
I, sorry, not to just jump right into like my...
No, please. What do I have to share?
Shit.
My life is so uneventful.
That you're friends with someone who has strep. Yeah, so I don't know if I sound bad or not.
You sound
just,
pretty much the same.
Yeah,
that makes you feel better.
Crazy. Oh my god. Go throat, go. Go throat, go. Anyway, yeah, I got to pick a room out this morning for my housing stuff, and I was able to get into an apartment suite. So that was really cool. Apparently, from what I was reading, I think one of my roommates might have a cat who is an emotional support
animal.
Wait,
I thought you said it was a single apartment. I didn't know you had roommates.
No, yeah. So we get single rooms in an apartment style like dorm. So
oh.
We have a kitchen and we have a common area, but we each instead of like a normal
dorm.
There's
two bedrooms.
Right. Well, there's four, but yeah. It's
there's
a
bedroom for each
suite.
Person. Okay.
Yeah,
I
yes.
Understand now.
It's not like I have to share a room with someone and it's like two beds in a room. It's like I get my own desk, bed, closet.
Your own personal space.
Yeah, which I'm very happy about because
yeah.
It would be a lot more difficult to be a 22-year-old transfer student living in the same room with someone else.
Are you taking Reed with you?
No, I'm not because...
Not allowed?
Not allowed, and I don't want to have to go through the trouble of, like, I don't know, he's not really my emotional support animal, so I can't, like...
For the record, Reed is an albino gecko.
Yeah, he's a leopard gecko. I love him very much. I really do wish I could bring him with me. If I'm able to get an actual, like, my own apartment off campus next year, then I'll bring him with me. If not, then I'm only a few hours away, so I'm not opposed to just coming home every weekend and taking care of him.
And, well, if you get an apartment by yourself off campus next year, that means I can just come stay with
you
whenever I
want.
Exactly.
No, actually, which I would love. If you don't mind me just, like, burying my head into my books all the time, and then, like, we could, you know,
it's not
out.
Like we do anything when we're together anyway. We watch Bob's Burgers and play Sims.
That's true. Which I... Personally, though, I love that.
Me
like,
too.
I really do adore that quality time because that is the definition of, like, quality time for me is just, like, being able to sit next to you and then I can look over or, like, I'll see something funny and I can, like, just turn to you and be like, look at this funny thing and you
yeah.
can giggle at it with
well,
cause me
right
next
like, to me.
Well, because
we still, like, talk. It's not like we're blatantly ignoring each other.
Yeah, yeah. Although, no, there were a few times where, like, we would – it's like we're having – our introvert time
yes
like together you know
but
and like so they're
the
they're right like we'll there are moments where like we are talking to each other and like you know having like a full-on conversation and like or not even doing anything and just talking or there are times where we are silent for like 2 hours straight and every now and then we just like check up with each other and be like you good yeah okay
sometimes
great.
One of us is napping and then as soon as
yeah.
one wakes up the other falls
the
asleep
the other one goes to nap.
And it's
yeah.
it's a beautiful relationship.
It really is the most beautiful of relationships.
I
love it.
I don't think anyone could put up with us except for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for Paisley.
Nah.
Frida doesn't even put up with me.
Paisley, I invited her on the couch and she wouldn't even come up and sit with me.
That's so rude. Paisley, no.
Oh my god.
Yeah, any other time she's like right on top of you.
Yeah, she's been sleeping all day. Oh my god, no. So I told Addie this, but Paisley fucking yesterday, I was so upset. So I bought her a Christmas present and it's basically like a little rosé bottle. It's not a it's like a
dog toy
felt rosé bottle or fleece rather. And you put a water bottle in it and it crinkles and crinkling like water bottles are her favorite. And so I bought it for her and she knows how to open presents. So I was going to wrap it for her and put it in her stocking. Well, it was in a bag on the floor because I hadn't had the chance to wrap it yet. And she fucking opened it. She took it out of the bag and then started playing with it. I was so upset because now it's not going to be a surprise anymore. And then I was wrapping gifts last night, like not even 5 minutes after this fucking incident. And I'm trying to unravel the wrapping paper off the roll. And she tried to take the entire roll of wrapping paper with the tube.
I love her so much. Even though she ruined her own Christmas present, like.
Well, because she likes wrapping paper, water bottles, dryer balls, and paper tubes. Her favorite things.
Everything that's not a dog toy.
Yes. And so she like stole the water bottle toy. And then she literally, as the wrapping paper's in my hand, like a giant roll of it, she just comes and tries to steal it and like unravel it so she can rip it apart.
Oh my gosh.
But I will probably post a Patreon video. I'll definitely send it to you, but I'm going to post a Patreon video of her opening her gifts on Christmas.
Please do.
She loves it.
I'm so excited. That's such a great gift for her because she's a whore for plastic water bottles. So
she is.
I feel like that is just like the most amazing thing. She already loves it, but maybe she'll forget that she saw it, and then
she was
Christmas
so
comes.
Mad at me when I took it away. She knows it's in her stocking too.
Yeah. Aw.
Oh well.
I love her.
I do too.
I miss her.
She misses you.
I'll come and see you before I'm.
Will you though?
Dying. Yes. I told you. The only issue that I have right now, the only thing that's stopping me from seeing you is that I need to get new tires on my car. And I told you, I texted her earlier today. I was like, hey, I will do this for you.
That's true.
I will do this
for you.
Well,
because I would like to give you your Christmas gift in person. And if you go back to school, I'm going to have to wait till like May to give it to you.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if, I know last year we like didn't get a spring break. I don't know if that's the same case this year. I feel like it might be.
Would you come for spring break?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, really?
Kidding me? Where else would I go for spring? I don't do
home?
Anything. I wouldn't.
See your family,
yeah,
maybe?
That's. I can see them all the time. Like, I will
that's
probably
true.
Be going home minimum once a month. Like, I'll be seeing them. It's not like I'll be going months and months without seeing them. But if I do have a spring break, I'll come and see you. But we'll try
Sweet.
To do. I still have to make your gift, so I'm going to try to really get on that because I have all the supplies I need. I'm just a terrible friend. And, like, you had yours already wrapped and everything for me, and I was like, oh, my God, if we do a gift exchange and I don't have this finished for her, I'm going to be the worst friend ever.
It's not wrapped. It's sitting in a box. I haven't wrapped it in wrapping paper yet, so.
Yeah, but you have the things for my gift.
I'm gonna
have
be real.
To
it's
give
been
you
sitting
you.
In that box for so long. I really don't remember what's in there.
So then it'll be a surprise for both
it'll
of us.
Be a surprise for both of us. It's like that. Have you seen that meme? And it's like Christmas. I love opening gifts for my dad because he's just as surprised at what
yeah,
I got
yeah,
as
yeah.
I am.
Yeah, yeah. Like when your dad gets a Christmas gift for your mom and like you and your dad go in on it and it's like, oh, what's mom getting? I don't know. Also, dad, if you're listening to this, don't expect much out of the wrapping job that I do for you. Just saying.
You know he'll listen to it, but not because of you, because of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Not because your parents will listen to it.
You're their favorite daughter.
I am?
Yeah, you're their favorite
daughter.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're my parents' favorite daughter.
I know. What about, no, not even Frida. Frida, it goes like me, you, then Frida.
At this point, yeah.
But, okay, wait, real quick. Did I tell you about the weighted paisley and my weighted blanket?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my God. So, I brought my weighted blanket to your house, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
usually,
you did.
Like, oh, you have one anyway, so you know how they work, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know how there's like little tiny beads and or like
yeah.
beans?
Yeah. Oh, yes, you did tell me this.
I did.
Yeah.
Continue. Yeah. So she's not like, she doesn't chew anything that she's not supposed to. But for some reason, Paisley, stop that. Oh, she's coming to see me. She's mad at me. But yeah, so there's like little beans inside my weighted blanket. And she won't rip it open or anything. But she likes to chew on the beans inside the blanket. So, like, she just I just hear crunching sometimes. And the blanket's not ripped or anything. Like, she'll just crunch them through the blanket. Like, what is wrong with you?
Delicious.
Beans.
Delicious crunch.
Oh, beans. She came over here, farted, and then she left. I hate everything.
The disrespect. Oh my god. She knows that ass do be farting too. Like, she did that on... That was out of spite. That was not, like, an accident. That was 100% out of spite.
Well...
For you exposing her.
She's getting a bath tomorrow, so...
So is Frida. Oh my god, cute twins. Yeah.
3:15.
But stinky little paisley butt.
Yeah, she does not smell great.
It'll be good.
Anyway, I'm so sorry that I've been, like, keeping us off track.
Oh, no, that's okay. I love it. I'm here for it.
We both have,
honestly.
I'm here
honestly. For the tangents. Yeah, we
Do you think Justin will bring me a Frodo?
He better. I'll text him.
Are you?
Yeah, I'll text him.
You should call him.
Should I call him?
Yes.
I swear to God,
Put him on speaker. Put him on speaker.
Yeah. This is his cameo. You think he'll pick up if I call him?
Yeah, because he's in his truck.
Oh, sweet. Is he? Wait. Okay. Hold on.
Hello?
Hey.
What's up?
Can you get Audrey a Frojo?
I was already planning on stopping.
Oh, you're so good. Okay, great. I just wanted to confirm and make sure.
All right,
bye. Have a good day. Bye.
Hey, you too.
I love that.
True love. He's gotten me a Frodo, like, on his way home from work pretty much every day for the past week. Because I've been just crying every day.
As he should, though. Good job, Justin. I love he was like, I was already planning on it. I was like, oh, amazing.
Yesterday, he calls me at 4:30, or like 4:45. He's like, do you want a Frodo on the way home from work? I was like, if you were planning on stopping, then yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, can you come unlock the door? I was like, you son of a bitch, you're already home.
Did he already get it and he just needed you to get the door?
Yes. Because he's Aww. A jackass.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you start because I will ramble forever. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm like overtired.
I feel like there
right
are
now.
So many like mouth sounds coming out of me. So I apologize in advance if like I'm going to be drinking a lot of water and stuff.
I almost just said Audrey has strep, but you're not Audrey, and I don't have strep, so.
Audrey has strep.
Audie.
I have strep.
Audrey.
You,
Audie.
You. Audie. Stop. Okay. Anyway.
Your favorite Animal Crossing character? Or
She's
one
not
of
my
them?
My favorite.
One of them.
She's cute. I like her. Anyway, okay. Going.
I'm sorry.
Let me get started with this.
Yes, please. I'm sorry.
This is a whole podcast.
Oh my
about
god,
us,
my feet are
like,
so sweaty. Holy shit.
Today's just a chaotic podcast. You're welcome. Okay, so this week I'm going to be talking about the 27 Club. I am super interested in this. It was really fun. Fun, but also just like interesting to look into this a little bit. So if you don't know, the 27 Club is not a physical club. It's more of like a conceptual club that includes famous musicians and actors who died at the age of 27. Most of these deaths are due to drugs and alcohol, but many other people in the 27 Club died in tragic ways. And I don't remember the exact number, but I think the official, like, there's an official list of people who are in the 27 Club. It's like in the 50s Jesus. Or something. There's like 50-something people.
A lot.
Yeah. And although it seems that there's a pattern with celebrities dying at this age, there's actually no statistical evidence that celebrity death at age 27 is higher than any other age, like, in that range. Mm-hmm. So from like 20s to 30s. There is a higher chance of celebrities dying at a young age, mostly due to substance abuse or just the nature of their lifestyles. The supposed origin of the 27 Club can be traced back to the origin of rock and roll itself. The Mississippi Delta Blues is a genre that rock and roll stems from.
Mm-hmm.
An artist named Robert Johnson had a style of guitar playing that inspired artists such as Eric Clapton and Keith Richards and many other rock and roll artists.
Mm-hmm.
And there are rumors that Johnson made a deal with the devil where he sold his soul in order to become an amazing guitar player.
Oh my God, and it's like Tenacious D. Maybe not.
Continue with that thought.
The guitar pick, how it's
the pick
like
of destiny?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see, I know about it, but I don't know, like,
I watched it once because Justin made me. I actually, like, that's why I stopped talking. She's smacking me because she wants me to pet her.
Paisley, make up your mind. Do you want to be a menace or do you want love?
Oh, my God. Get off of my laptop. Sorry. Continue. So, Tenacious D, he made a deal with the devil.
Yeah. In 1938, he mysteriously passed away.
38?
Possibly in 1938, yes.
Oh, wow.
Possibly due to somebody poisoning him. And of course, he died at the ripe old age of 27.
Shit.
So he's the earliest known musician to join the 27 Club. But, and I added this in, I don't doubt that there are more from before his time.
Mm-hmm.
But
he like started it because he was.
Right. Because he was like he like made the deal with the devil.
Right.
And like a lot of his guitar style playing is what inspired a lot of rock and roll musicians, so that's kind of like where it started from.
Okay.
Which I'll go into a little bit more about like this like devil's curse later on. I was gonna say that I read that Robert Johnson, you know, was very popular with the ladies, so it's okay. Assumed that maybe someone's husband poisoned him.
They
like poisoned his whiskey or something because he was seeing their wife or something. Like an affair happened, and so someone poisoned him. In the early 1970s, within a 2-year span, 4 famous artists lost their lives. Brian Jones was a founding member of the Rolling Stones, and he drowned in a swimming pool while under the influence of drugs and alcohol. It's also suggested that foul play might have been involved. A lot of people don't think that he just, like, jumped in the pool and, like, drowned because he was under, you know,
I've definitely heard that one. I've definitely heard that one.
Jimi Hendrix, one of the greatest guitar players in history,
yep.
died of asphyxiation in London in 1970. He took a handful of sleeping pills earlier in the night and washed them down with some wine. The pills were Vesperax, a kind of barbiturate. I practiced pronouncing that before.
That's okay.
I came on here and I still didn't.
That's okay.
Where normally a low dose is enough to knock somebody out, and he took a whole handful and then passed away from choking on his own vomit.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I was going to ask if he choked on his vomit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Janis Joplin, famous rock and blues singer, died just 16 days after he did, and she died of a heroin overdose. And in the summer of 1971, Jim Morrison, lead singer of The Doors, died of a heart attack, supposedly also from a heroin overdose. And it's suspected that he thought that it was cocaine, and then he snorted a lethal amount of heroin.
Jesus.
Which, to snort heroin is, like, really not good. Really not good.
It's interesting that it took 30, 40 years to tie, what was the first guy's name again? I'm sorry.
Johnson?
Yeah.
Robert.
To tie him
into
the overdoses of 4 other people in the 70s and so on and so forth.
Right. I'll get into it a little bit later. Like, it was really the death of these 4 musicians, and then the nail in the coffin was Kurt Cobain after that. Because of just, like, everything surrounding it. But it's just, to me, it's just crazy. First of all, like, all of these artists died so close together, and all of them passed away of drugs or alcohol or the combination of the two, like. And there could have very well been foul play involved in some of these deaths.
I was just about to say that all of these seems too coincidental to not be foul play for, I mean, especially the drowning one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Another thing, like, even if he snorted heroin, like, it could have been laced.
Right.
People will mask murder as an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially if those people are already involved with drugs, like, it's not that hard to do.
Right.
Which a lot, I mean, it's the 70s, like, everybody's doing drugs, especially if you're a rock star.
Yeah. All right, continue. I'm sorry. I'm just very interested in this now.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. It was okay. So this rumor is like one that I always heard when I may or may not have dabbled in the marijuana. It's fine. I don't smoke anymore, but it was always a thing. Like, my friends would always tell me, you know, like, don't own a white lighter, or like, don't take the wrapper off your lighter because then it'll be a white lighter and like, you're gonna die young or some shit. Because it was always rumored that the people who are in the 27 Club all died with a white lighter in their pocket. Mm-hmm. But that myth was debunked because Bic didn't start selling disposable lighters until 1973. So that was like 2 years after these deaths happened, three years after these deaths happened. So, but I always thought that that's like always the connection that I had to the 27 Club.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
While the death of these four legends is what sparked the conspiracy of the club, it wasn't until Kurt Cobain's death in 1994 that the infamous 27 Club really caught wind.
Did he really die that? Like, I thought he died longer ago than that.
Hold on. Sorry. Did I get that wrong?
No, it's just that I don't know. I was never a Nirvana fan, so I just always assumed, like, growing up, I just always thought that that was, like, 70s rock.
Oh, yeah. No, it was in 94 that he died.
Yeah, I'm just not...
I accidentally wrote 1984 in my thing, but then I just, like...
Remembered.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't. And now you saying that, I was like, wait, was I originally right? Did I...
No,
was it actually 1984?
I don't know.
It just seems like it's... So
it seems like it was
ago.
So long ago. Yeah.
Right.
But it was only 6 years before I was born.
Which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to think about.
Sorry I keep interrupting. I'm just so, intrigued by all of this.
No, I love your interruptions. Please keep interrupting.
This is why I asked you to do it, because I was like, I need to know more. And I know she'll be good at it.
So, yeah, it wasn't until Kurt Cobain's death in 94 that... the infamous 27 Club really started to pick up and be more of like a public thing that was talked about.
Okay.
From what I can assume or like understand, like maybe it was something that was rumored within like groups of rock stars or like within groups of celebrities based off of what happened in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think maybe like it was talked about a little bit, but I don't think that it was something that was public until after Cobain's death, because his mom made a statement.
I was just about to ask about this.
Yes, yeah. So his mom made a statement in the Daily World saying, "Now he's gone and joined that stupid club. I told him not to join that stupid club," referring to the 27 Club. I wrote "ow, heartbreaking" because wow.
And real quick,
yeah,
Courtney did it. I will cover that in a later episode, but Courtney did it. You cannot change my mind.
Dun, 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 dun. After but honestly, though, after reading some stuff about it and, like, listening to podcasts about his death, I feel like I believe that. Anyway, and I'll talk about it very briefly in a couple
minutes. Yeah, because I texted you and you were like, why do you think that? And not, like, being a dick. You were just genuinely asking. Yeah. And I was like, well, here's the science. And you were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. She never specified exactly what club she was talking about.
Oh.
But some people assumed that she meant their family members, because their family had a history of mental health problems. His two great uncles and his great grandfather all committed suicide.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. So initially, that's what people might have thought that she was referring to when she said club. But it wasn't until after an investigative report published by Rolling Stone came out that we knew that she was talking about the 27 Club. So the way that news was able to spread quickly due to media solidified this idea of the 27 Club. So it wasn't just like this kind of illusion. It became a thing. It's like now called the 27 Club.
Okay.
There are mostly musicians who are considered to be a part of the 27 Club, because there is like an official, I guess, roster, you could call it. I don't know who comes
like
up with
list,
this. Like,
yeah.
What? Right. I don't know like what the like if there's a
criteria.
Right. But okay. There are also like some actors who are on there and like other people who are like celebrities, not necessarily just musicians or rock and roll artists. I'm going to talk about Kurt Cobain's death a little bit here.
Oh, hell yeah.
So there is some conspiracy surrounding his death, and people to this day still try to reopen his case. Courtney Love, his wife, hired a personal investigator named Tom Grant to look into his death. Grant even says himself that there are many inconsistencies in the case, and there was financial motivation for Courtney to kill Kurt. Kurt Cobain was planning to divorce Courtney and even made a phone call to his lawyer to remove her as a beneficiary in his will. He also turned down a $10 million gig headlining Lollapalooza in 1994. Not in the Lollapalooza was supposed to happen in 1994. In his autopsy, there was a large amount of heroin found, and he apparently shot himself in the mouth with a shotgun. Due to the nature of the drug and how much was in his system, and the effort that it would take for him to shoot himself in the mouth with the shotgun, it seems almost impossible for him to have done this himself.
Also, and the angle of the shotgun would have been impossible for him to reach if it was a huge fucking shotgun.
Right, right. And especially, like when you're on heroin, like, it's not like you're moving around a lot. Like, a lot
your
of times
motor skills
you're nodding
are
off.
Very sad.
Right. And especially with the amount of heroin that was in his system, like, I don't think that he would be able to even, like, lift his head up, let alone point a long-ass shotgun in his mouth and be able to maneuver that. Like,
there's another case that people are trying to reopen right now. Sorry to go off topic real quick.
No, that's great.
Ellen Greenberg.
Yes.
Yeah, so she was stabbed like 20-something times in the back and they deemed it a suicide.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
And like that immediately made me think of Kurt Cobain's case.
Right.
Because it's like, but her case just got, I believe they just reopened it to undetermined. I don't quote me on that, but it's because people were fighting so hard for it, you know?
Right. Right. And I mean that, I'm sorry, getting stabbed 27 times is not a suicide.
I don't know how many times. 20 something. I don't know how many times she got stabbed.
But okay, more than just one time. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even possible.
Well, yeah, and the suicide rate of stabbing yourself is like very, very low. Anyway, I'm off topic. Continue with Kurt.
We love it. I love getting off topic. So, yeah, there are many other details about this case that seem fishy, and we'll cover it at a later point. But that
Audrey
is just
will
the
cover
of the
it
iceberg.
At a later point.
Yes, yes.
I am hype.
I'm excited for it, too. It's going to be so interesting.
Probably in a couple weeks.
There is conspiracy surrounding his death. And it's just, again, not to, like, be redundant, but it's just very interesting to me how there are multiple people in the 27 Club whose deaths have either conspiracy or theories about what actually happened or that there's foul play that might have been involved. Like, it's just very interesting.
Each of them, from what I hear so far, it seems like there's evidence that points to foul play in each of the cases.
Right.
And I don't know. I just think, like, overdoses and suicides are very easy to see. Like, you can't find evidence of foul play in a suicide. You know what I mean?
Right.
Also, real quick, if you want to hear more about, like, the Kurt Cobain thing before I do it, Morbid did a two-part episode on it.
I think it's episode 58, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, because you were listening to it earlier, right?
Yes.
I haven't listened to it in a while, but it is really good. And, like, that's where my mind kind of got changed on it. So if you want, like, more information on the Kurt Cobain case before I cover it, feel free to go listen to the Morbid episode on it because it's really good.
Yeah, and they go into a lot of detail and they feel very passionate about Lee.
Yes.
Passionately about it.
Yeah.
So it comes to no surprise that the 27 Club is thought of as a curse from the devil. There have been many artists who die at this age or close to it. Rock and roll in its prime is viewed as the music of the devil due to the nature of its content and, I guess, like, how it would make teenagers behave at the time
or
whatever.
Yeah, and then there's that whole thing where, like, back in the 70s and 80s, people would play it backwards and be like, oh, this is Latin and they're speaking to Satan if you would, like, play it backwards or some shit.
Yeah, trying to reach and find something when people were just trying to jam out. So, yeah, the whole, like, the 27 Club is is seen as like a curse, and it's like the curse of being like a rock and roll star that apparently started with Robert Johnson. But so the whole second half of this podcast, I'm just going to be talking about Amy Winehouse, because she is the, unfortunately, she's the latest member of the 27 Club, mm-hmm. and I have a very special place in my heart for her. I'm tearing up right now just even thinking about it, but I just love her a lot. So I do want to, you know, like talk about her and just her legacy a little bit. So she was the latest confirmed member of the 27 Club. Amy Winehouse was an extremely talented singer from England who was famous in the early 2000s. She made her big break around 2006, 2007, when Back to Black, her second album, was released. It hit number one in the UK album charts and was at number seven in the Billboard 200. Rehab, her single from the album, hit top 10 in both the UK and the US. She promoted the album with performances at music festivals and other gigs. Bruce Willis introduced her at the 2007 MTV Movie Awards, where she performed Rehab. Yeah, and he like requested that. Like, he wanted to be the one to introduce her before her performance. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of cool. Her tour continued later on in 2007, but it did not go as well as it started. It was obvious that she was intoxicated most of the time. She was booed at the National Indoor Arena, and a critic even made a statement about her performance, saying that she was stumbling around and cursing at the audience. Unfortunately, this was not an isolated event, as most of her shows were performed intoxicated. Mm-hmm. And she was told by her doctor to take a break, and all performances and appearances were canceled for the remainder of the year.
Okay.
The first thing that pisses me off is that you see that. Like, you see her obviously going through something, and she takes a break. She takes a leave of absence literally by her doctor, and I'll like continue to talk about it, but just like the stuff that happens after this, like, there were so many times where the people around her could have done something, right, and nobody did. Like, nobody. It was just like, it just breaks my heart. And like, I'll get into the media too, but it's
people
just like,
want to see women fail, and that's what I have to say about it.
Exploiting her illness of addiction for their own mm-hmm. personal gain. You want to get a couple headlines out of her, yet they don't talk about all of the things that she achieved. And mm-hmm. like, oh, after she passed away, then they get into that. But anyway, I'll get into that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So in early 2008, she won 5 Grammys, Record of the Year,
shit,
Song of the Year, Best Female Pop Vocal Performance, Best Pop Vocal Album, and Best New Artist.
Good for her.
Amazing. I just got chills reading that.
I did too.
Which is absolutely incredible. What an icon. And she even got into the Guinness Book of World Records for most Grammys won by a British female act.
Oh, wow.
Back to Black was also nominated for Album of the Year. So after the Grammys, her album was back in Billboard's top 200, peaking at number 2 and then staying at number 7, which is great.
Wait, did you not see that?
No.
At number 2 and then at number 7?
Oh my God, stop. No, I didn't just see that until you just said that right now.
I'm so sorry. What the fuck?
That's so weird. That's so weird. Oh my God. Why did you point
I'm
that out
sorry.
To me? That's so crazy. No. That's just like insane, because I didn't even.
The devil works hard.
Audrey works harder. Addie's slacking. Addie drops the ball.
No, I just have the brain cell.
Moving on. A special edition of the album Back to Black topped UK album charts, and the original stayed at number 30 for almost 70 consecutive weeks.
Wow.
The album also got put on the list of UK's top 10 best-selling albums of the 21st century. And I don't know what these awards are, but she was the first artist to receive 2 nominations for the top award at the Ivor Novello Awards, Best Song Musically and Lyrically. And then this award was won for Love is a Losing Game, and it was nominated for You Know I'm No Good, which are 2 songs off Back to Black.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, she performed a show at a jazz festival in St. Lucia, where she had trouble remembering lyrics and was stumbling around the stage. She ended the set mid-song, and she ended up ending the set mid-song. Sorry, I thought that was going to be more of a sentence than it actually was. In 2010, both her and her label made an announcement that her third album would be coming out by the latest January 2011, even though she hadn't been in the studio to start recording the album. She continued to perform and get booed off stage for forgetting where she was, forgetting song lyrics, and being inebriated on stage. While she was on her European tour, it is also rumored that she was forced by her bodyguards to perform, even though she tried to walk off stage, which it makes me so angry. The fact that they kept continuing to book these. And this was a 13-leg tour, by the way. This European tour was like a very long tour. And they continued, instead of trying to let her take a break, they just continued booking shows for her. And she continued to be put in the public eye.
Those 13 shows could have been canceled. And then she could have spent that time getting help.
Well, yeah.
Or they could have spent that time getting help for her.
Right. So, and then my next sentence is, the last few shows of the tour were canceled in order for her to get herself straightened out. But as we know, that didn't end up happening.
Didn't happen.
Her last public appearance was at Camden's Roadhouse on July 20th, 2011, where she went on stage to support her goddaughter, Dionne Bromfield. She passed away just 3 days later. 3 years before her death, she stated her fear of joining the 27 Club.
What the fuck?
Before her death, the media absolutely tore Amy to shreds.
Oh, yeah.
Paparazzi would constantly follow her around. There's even a picture of her with cocaine in her nose that made the front page of the Evening Standard.
That's
which
so
I don't even
up.
Know that freaking magazine, so that shows how irrelevant they are, but
seriously.
Yeah. It didn't help that she would be booed by crowds at her shows because she was intoxicated, and the media latched onto this, and no achievement could ever surpass the stories that the media constantly circulated. No matter how talented she was, all that was focused on was her drug use.
Of course.
The Sun released pictures of her smoking crack, and she was then interrogated by police. Nobody actually tried to help her. The president of Island Records, which was her record label, even thought about dropping her so she could deal with her problems. And of course, after she passed away, everybody thought of her differently. They didn't have scandalous headlines to make about her, and she was praised for her talent and her accomplishments, and the people surrounding her and the media were the ones that let her deteriorate.
Right.
And watched her and plastered it all over headlines and tabloids.
And, like, all of this was it feels like a cry for help.
Absolutely it was. I mean, have you seen the footage of her last performance?
No, because I know it's going to be.
Yeah, it breaks my heart. Like, it breaks my heart because you can just see how broken she was. And I think she genuinely did want help. And I think that she wasn't allowed to.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of, like, what was happening with Britney.
Mm-hmm.
When she, like, had a breakdown and shaved her head and shit.
Yep.
And everyone made it this big joke.
It's like, look at this crazy person.
Right. And it's like, okay, but this is her way of telling everybody she needs help.
Right, because how else are people aren't going to listen to you. Right. They want you to continue making money for them. They want you to continue doing whatever they need in order to make a profit off of you.
Right. I just, like, especially with women in the music industry, it like, they don't care how you feel. They don't care about your independence or your success. They just care that you're making them money.
Yep.
And I'm sure that all this media making a joke of her was getting them money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I have a little bit about her achievements and a little bit more about, you know, who she was.
Sorry if I keep, like, cutting you off.
No, you're not cutting me off. No.
Trying to be involved in the conversation.
Yeah, I want you to be involved.
Okay.
Amy was known for her generosity, as she would donate to charities, specifically those associated with helping children. Mm. She made an appearance in Easy Living magazine to raise money for breast cancer. And there was a CD called Classics that raised awareness for climate change that she appeared on alongside the Rolling Stones, the Killers, and other Cuban musicians.
Nice.
She donated over £20,000 worth of clothing to a local charity shop in London. A Caribbean man named Julian Jean de Baptiste had an urgent surgery that cost £4,000, and she paid it all off for him while she was staying in St. Lucia. He stated, I had surgery on July 1st, 2009. It cost a fortune. Amy paid for the whole thing. I tried to thank her, but she just hugged me and told me not to say anything. Her generosity gave me my life back. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Isn't that just like...
My heart hurts.
I wish that's what's talked about. Like, I wish when people talk about Amy Winehouse and remembering who she was, that that's like... Because I didn't even know about that until I was reading into this. Like, I didn't even know that that happened, which... I mean, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, like, but, like, it shows how, like, that's who she was at her core. Like, she didn't do that as a big display of, like, look at me, like I'm, like, helping people. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It's, like, such a humble gesture. And even when she was going through what she was going through, she still cared so much about this person who maybe she barely knew him, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know the nature of the relationship, but, like... It's just heartwarming.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that, like, a beautiful person like that was taken away from us.
Yeah.
But her legacy still lives on because after she passed, her family created the Amy Winehouse Foundation, which aims to help young people who may struggle with addiction.
Mm-hmm.
They pair with other organizations to provide support to young people to try to prevent drug and alcohol abuse so they can reach their full potential. There's so much more to Amy Winehouse than just her addiction, and the same can be said for all the other artists mentioned earlier in the podcast. Mm-hmm. The abuse of drugs and alcohol among young artists is so prevalent, and it seems like they don't get the support or the help they need. Another person that comes to mind for me, he's not in the 27 Club, but Mac Miller.
Yep.
Same thing. He could have used a lot more support than what he got.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's probably obvious from how, you know, I'm talking about this stuff, but I personally feel very strongly about this topic because I feel like a lot of times addiction is very misunderstood.
Right.
I don't think people realize that it's a disease and not just a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I know I personally never learned in school how people actually got addicted to drugs or how the disease of addiction can actually completely rewire your brain. I only ever learned that drugs are bad and they made people do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And addicts aren't necessarily bad people.
Right.
And they, I mean, I'm not saying that all addicts aren't bad people. Some addicts probably are bad people. But they just suffer from a disease that consumes your life. And that's not to say that people who are addicts aren't responsible for their actions, because they are. But through programs like AA and NA, they can learn how to right their wrongs and turn over a new leaf for themselves.
Right.
With support. So I added this little bit in. I can tweet out these links for you guys if you want. But I just added these resources in because I feel like it's a good thing to have just in case anyone who's listening might be battling with addiction or substance abuse or know someone who's battling with addiction and substance abuse. So I have two links. One is for adolescents and young adults, and they have a tab specifically for substance abuse, and there's also a tab for parents for like an Al-Anon thing or how to help your child. And there's also a page called shatterproof.org, and it has treatment resources, recovery resources, Al-Anon resources, and information on harm reduction, which I didn't really talk about, but harm reduction is huge, and I feel like it should also. Little change of pace. This was like the beginning of, it's so funny. This podcast has so many twists and turns because like the beginning was just utter chaos. And then the end was like, you know, that. And it's just
the
wonderful
angels.
I will fall. I should not try to sing. Oh my God. Ow. I need
your
tea.
Your poor tonsils. Yeah, please go drink some tea.
So that is all. That is all I have for this.
Well, I will let you go because I think I have to go food shopping.
Real quick, outro?
Yes. No. I was going to ask you to do it because you know very well I'm not doing it.
So you can find us on Instagram at Your Worst Nightmare TCP, on Twitter at Nightmare TCP. You can reach out to us on Gmail, the email service at yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com. You can, if you want to support us in a way that is more than just listening and rating us, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/yourworstnightmaretcp. We put up some extra content there. You'll get episodes a little bit earlier. We're going to be adding some more content to there soon, so we're working on that. Thank you so much for listening. All right, I think it's time we just wrap
this
up.
I'm so tired. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Merry Christmas.
And the last 2 hours of Christmas. Bye.
Bye.